John 11, first six verses be our main. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit, but let's read these first six verses together. John 11, 1. Follow along on the monitor, bulletin, the good book. John 11, 1 through 6. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Dear Lord, we love you. We praise you. We need you, Lord. We need your comfort. We need your peace. We need your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We need you. Thank you for your anointing. And thank you, Father God, that your will be done in this service. That we will leave here excited. And we'll leave here refreshed and optimistic, Lord, and ready to be about your business. Thank you, Father God, that we are your willing servants to go and be and do what you have called us to do, and that we love you and we are devoted to you with everything that we are, because we know that you are devoted to us. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Give the Lord some praise, please. So, John 11, 1. Okay, let me just give you a little bit of background to what's going on. I'm sure everybody's very familiar with this group of scriptures. But in case you do not know what's going on, Jesus had a special group of friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They're a family, two sisters and a brother. But Jesus, from time to time, would come to their house as a place of R&R, respite, a time of relaxation, recharging from the rigors of ministry. And he was welcome to bring his 12 disciples and his entourage with him as he would go to this family's house. So this wasn't just some people that were part of his ministry. These were his friends. What I mean by not part of his ministry, he had his apostles, he had his disciples, he had this group of people that followed him, and we know that he loved these people, but he had a special group of friends, this family, where he could go and relax and enjoy Martha's good cooking and just be away from it all. You know, Jesus would get tired too. He was 100% man as well as 100% God. So he needed to recharge sometimes. So this was a special group of folks. So as we read here, we notice that there's relationship, that there's a close and intimate relationship. Let's go through these first couple verses again. Now a certain man, not any man, but a friend of Jesus, his buddy, his compadre. Now a certain man was ill. Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany was right down the road from Jerusalem. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So John, we're in the book of John, and John is helping to illustrate that there was a real connection or a real relationship with this group of people. And that's important as we go through our little story today. Verse 3. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now, this is interesting that they were able to reach out into the inner circle of Jesus Christ where they could find him. So it just shows this connection to Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to say, is these guys were buddies, okay? Now, this is so important, man, because if you're going through it, here we are again, you know, if you're going through it, and if you're not going through it, God bless you, but get ready and let's learn, let's get prepared, you know. Either you're training for it or you're in the middle of it, right? Can I get a witness? So let's get prepared for this and let's learn from these wonderful scriptures. Look at verse 3. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. So What did they do? They reached out to the Savior. They reached out to Jesus. It is so simple, yet so profound. And so often when we go through a hard and difficult season, even as Bible-believing Christian folks, sometimes we will just try and do it on our own. I mean, let's be honest. But there's some things you can't do on your own. You know, and so God bless them for reaching out and saying, we can't fix this on our own, but I know who can. I know who can. He's my friend. He sticks closer to me than a brother. It's like when the disciples were in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. Here comes the storm. And the storm's brewing. It's getting crazy. They feel like they're about to drown. And what do? They run to the back of the boat. They go into the inner workings of the boat and say, Jesus, don't you care what we're going through? You know, and man, I love it that they did that. I love it that they went, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Because that's what we got to do. You know, there's a lot of things you can't do on your own. But bless God, we're Christian folks. And if you ain't a Christian, you need to be a Christian, okay? Because one of the wonderful, amazing blessings we have as far as being a Christian is I don't have to go through anything alone, okay? I got the creator of the universe who was right there. Give the Lord some praise. So here's this little Bible verse right here, a real stick of dynamite. Not a literal stick of dynamite. Those of you that may have questioned if I was about to pass around. Anyways, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Check this out. Casting all your anxieties. So here it is. If I can't get it done on my own, what do you mean if I can't do it on my own? Okay, so check this out. Let's get real simple. I need $10 in gas. Do I got $10 to put in a gas tank? Okay, I got that covered. What if I ain't got it covered? What if I need something or I'm in a bad situation and I cannot do it on my own? God has not already laid the provision out there for me. Okay, well, check this out. Casting all your anxieties on Him. So there's no wiggle room there. If you're going through it, don't go through it alone. If you say, my mate doesn't understand, my mate doesn't know what I'm going through, okay, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anyone to talk to. I don't know if that's your case or not. But I'm saying there's a God in heaven that listens to you and He loves you and He wants to help you through every single thing that you're going through, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Okay, so this cares for you is super beautiful because it's not just saying, I care for you. It's deeper than that. We can say, I prefer to go to this gas station because I really like this clerk in here. She's swell, she's nice, and sometimes she lets me walk out paying for coffee at half price. This is way deeper than that. This is saying that He cares for me like a parent cares for his children, or like this is my responsibility because you are my child. We have responsibilities for our children that we don't necessarily have for other people's kids. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? These are my kids. And that's what God's saying right here. Now think about what I just said. God is saying, you are my responsibility, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. So this is the wonderful privilege we have. And Mary and Martha, man, they're doing the right thing. Running, getting this message to Jesus. Now let's go to verse 4. Interesting verses, interesting story. But Lord, we can learn so much when we do just a little deeper study of what's going on here. Just kind of going, just kind of looking at this stuff a little bit. John 11, verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, He said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, like I said, if you know anything about this story, Lazarus, he ain't dead yet, but Lazarus is going to die. He's going to die before Jesus gets there. But it's interesting, Jesus, who sees the big picture, who is a big picture God, which is so important to us, you know, that's something that I'm really trying to drive home in my own life, you know, that we serve a big picture God, that He's looking at the whole thing. You know, He's looking at the whole thing, and He will allow there to be some painful stimuli in our life if it serves a purpose. Can I get a witness? He is our loving Father, and he says that we are his, that it is his responsibility to take care of us. So what kind of loving father would not do what's best for his children? This is the God we serve. But when he heard this, he said, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So when Jesus does this amazing miracle, when he does raise Lazarus from the dead, which we will eventually get to, sooner or later, we'll get to that, Lord willing. You know, when he does do this, this is going to give Jesus Christ glory. But when it also gives Jesus Christ glory, it gives God the Father glory. Just like when Brother Dalton, Brother Larry, Brother Dustin, when one of us step out, we do that right thing. And it's usually not easy to do the right thing. It's usually that's the harder road to go down, you know. But when we do that right thing, we're giving God glory, you know. And that's what we truly exist for. We exist to give God glory and honor with our lives. So when I make a stand for the right thing, when I sacrifice some of my comfort, when I step out of my comfort zone to witness to a lost and dying world, when I do a little bit of that, you know what I mean? That's giving God glory. What do I mean by that? I mean, my actions are pointing to God. My actions are saying, I'm not like I used to be. Something has happened to me. My life's been changed, and your life can be changed. Moving forward. But, okay, so spoiler alert, Lazarus does die. Spoiler alert, he gets raised from the dead, okay? But he says these interesting words. This thing going on with Lazarus, he's talking to his disciples, and he's about to tell them, hey, we got to go back towards Jerusalem. We got to go see our buddy Lazarus. Okay, and so, but he said, hey, this thing's not going to end in death, guys. It's going to be all right. And there's a lot that we can glean from that right there. One of the things, just first thing that jumps out at you, because we all know this story, it doesn't end in death, but hold on a second. He does die, but that's not the end. That's not the end of his story, nor is it the end of our story, you know? Death, you know, just listen. Death for the believer, okay? Death for the person that says, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe you are the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. If you say those, think those things, say those things, believe those things, God will take you up on that. And now, boom, you are in God's family. You are in God's family. When you say, I need you, when you believe on him, okay? So here's the deal. Your story does not end in death. Your story will not end in death. I'm not saying you won't pass away, but it don't end there. That's just the springboard until it gets really, really good. That's where it gets great. Give the Lord some praise. That's good news. Matter of fact, that is the good news. That's the gospel. Also, you know, what else is the good Lord telling us right here? Right here in the nasty now and now, man, we might have some real hardcore, real deal problems. We might be going through some real serious issues. You know, either you are or you're going to, right? Can I get a witness? New spoiler alert again, I'm ruining everything for you. You know, but you're going to have hard times. That's just this world, you know? Okay, but see, your problem, Satan, that thief, we all know that thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. That's his job. 24/7, he don't take no time off. That's what he does. He wants to make you miserable. He can't have your soul if you've already given it to Jesus Christ. He can't have that. But he still wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He still wants to make you miserable. He wants to make you make a bunch of bad decisions. He can't make you, by the way. He can't make you. But you know what? We're pretty good at doing that all around, but he knows the little buttons to push, little carrots to wave in front of our face to get us to go right off of that cliff. He's been doing this for a little while. He knows how we work as far as humans go. But see, the situation that you're going through right now, God says it does not end in death. This thing is not meant to destroy you that I've allowed to come into your life, but this thing is to make you stronger, to bring you to a closer walk with me. Let me give you a couple verses talking about this, because some of us, this might be the little word that we need right here when I'm going through the storm. Look at Romans 8 and verse 31. Man, this is a good one. This is a good one. If you're looking for your favorite Bible verse, I don't know, maybe. Romans 8, 31. What then? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, I love that. I love that. Well, the IRS is on my case. I got three flat tires. Man, you know what? I tell you what. Well, it doesn't matter. I get a lot of flat tires, though, man. I don't drive wild. I don't drive crazy. If you see me driving down the road, usually I got a long line of people behind me saying bad things about me. But, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm always running over some sort of nail or something like that. Anyways, let's move forward. I don't know. Maybe you know what's going on. I think one of you cats might be sprinkling them out there in the parking lot where I park is what I'm thinking. Oh, it's awful convenient. Every Monday morning when I'm going up, look at that. I'm playing. Tell the truth, shame them. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Literally, seriously, let's think about that for a second. If God's on your side, does it really matter what is thrown against you? It doesn't have to. It's not. God says this does not have to destroy you. I do not want this to take you out. I want this to make you stronger. That's how he looks at it. Remember? Psalm 121 in verse 2. This is a dandy. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a dandy. Psalm 121 verse 2. Now look. My help, I don't know about your help, but look, my help comes from the Lord. Okay? My help comes from the Lord. And look at this little tiny tidbit of his resume that is thrown in there. Because this is what it's all about. Because I'm not saying you ain't got real problems. I'm not saying you're not going through some really crazy, life-changing, altering situations. But this is what God says. This is what the psalmist says. My help comes from the Lord, okay, who made heaven and earth, all right? I can't make a sandwich correctly the way my kids like it. You know what I mean? By the time you got it figured out, I cut the crust off there for you, Junior. That's so last year. I don't do that anymore. I don't know. What can you do, huh? What can you do? Let's go to the next slide. Kids, right? John 11, 5 and 6. I hope you guys are being blessed. John 11, 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Okay, so this is getting weirder all the time. He first says, this ain't going to end in death. And we know it. He's going to die. But then look at this. Now, this is so important, man. This is so important to you and to me when you're really going through it. Listen to these next two verses. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He's committed to these people. He loves them. All right. Verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Look at that. John is going above and beyond through the Holy Spirit, the author of these scriptures, wants you to know how much he loves this family, how much Jesus loves this family. And then he also wants to make it very, very clear, not only his devotion to this family, but also the fact that Jesus doesn't just run to the scene of the crime, or he doesn't run out there. They've already sent word, Jesus, the one you love, he's ill, not just a little sick, not a little cough. We need you back at the Ponderosa ASAP. We need you really, really bad. But he stays 2 days longer. Okay, so here we are. You know, here's the thing. Easy to understand, but sometimes it's not so easy when you're in the middle of it. You know, when you say, God, I need you yesterday. This is not looking good. You know what my landlord said? You know this. I already brought this to you. You know what I mean? But see, Isaiah 55 and verse 9. This is good. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. So here we go. Here's the earth. There's the heavens. They're way on up there. Right? See, you're not going to get this kind of hardcore teaching at Olivet. They're a great church. God, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. I didn't mean it. I just grabbed a name, so please. They're fine people. Let's just close in prayer. Father God, what are we doing? Okay. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is just letting us know, like a father, a loving father to a child, you're not always going to get it. You're not always going to understand the things that I've allowed, the things that I'm doing. Okay, but this is the thing, that when we don't get it, the stuff that we don't understand, we got to go back to what we do know, what we do understand. So what is that? I know that God loves me. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So I might not get why it seems like he's taking too long, and he's not taking too long, but sometimes it certainly seems that way, doesn't it? And I'm not always going to understand all this stuff, but I can certainly understand this, that he loves me. He loves me. And when he loves me, he wants what's best for me. So therefore, he's doing what is best for me. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. It says right there in the verse, now Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And that's the same for us. Look at Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, hey, you just read that verse. Nope, it's a different one. Look at your neighbor saying, nope, this is a different one. Pay attention. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards you. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. So if you belong to the Lord and you got that reverence for God, you know, here's the thing, man. He loves you. He loves us. He never tells a little fib. He never tells a little white lie. He never wants to get you to come pray and make a decision by telling you, hey, all your problems are going to go away as soon as you make me your Lord and Savior. He never says that. You know, he makes it very clear. This ain't the easy road, man. This is not the easy road, but this is the road that leads to life. He tells us, he pleads with us to go down this road. Can I get a witness? Let's jump. Everybody jump. Do jump enough. Let's go to the next slide. That's what I meant to say. Is everybody all right? So we are jumping. We're going to skip a little bit here. So just for the sake of time. But Jesus is telling his apostles, these 12 guys, look, we're going to go towards Jerusalem. We got to go see Lazarus. We got to go do this. And he says, Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples are like, yo, if he's asleep, let's not go wake him. You know, let him sleep, Jesus. And they're just not getting it. So Jesus is going to say our next verse that we're about to read. Okay, so, and there's another reason why the disciples or the apostles, why they would be a little hesitant to go back towards Jerusalem. Because the last time they were in Jerusalem, Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, tried to kill Jesus. They tried to stone him. So they didn't really want to go back and have to deal with that again. But Jesus is literally now turning his head back toward Jerusalem, and he's working his way to the cross. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's a big picture guy, but he says, first up on the way, we're going to go see my buddy Lazarus. So, John 11, verse 14. Then Jesus told them plainly, because they weren't getting it. He's like, he's asleep. Oh, okay, that's good. Mama said you need to sleep. No. Okay, guys, he's dead. You got it. James, you got it. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. Verse 15, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So super cool, man. It really is. Say, he's dead and we're going to go there. And to be honest with you, I'm glad that I wasn't there. I'm glad that you guys weren't there to see me raise Lazarus up. Or I'm glad that you weren't there. So I just went and said, Lazarus, I don't want you to be sick no more. Come on up, good buddy. How you feeling, Martha? Can get some soup, some stew, can get something going on. He was going for something bigger. He was going for something bigger and better. And so sometimes when we don't understand why God didn't jump, and we say, God, I really need you to jump, it's because he's working on something bigger. He's working on something bigger and better than we can even imagine, you know? And that's the truth of the matter. Because listen, like I said, when it ain't making sense, go back to what does make sense. He loves me and he is faithful to me and he wants what's best for me. So there's a couple things that are going on here. Certainly when the disciples see Lazarus raised from the dead, their faith is going to grow exponentially. That's a pretty fancy word, ain't it? I have to look that one up later, make sure I didn't mess that up, because I do that sometimes. I'll be like, I didn't know I knew that word. And then I'll go look it up. So, yeah, I guess I didn't know that word. Anywho, moving forward here, certainly their faith is going to grow. And all the people that see it, their faith is going to grow. I mean, Jesus doesn't just open the eyes of the blind. He doesn't just help the deaf hear, but he raises the dead back to life. Matter of fact, this is a sign of the Messiah. So this is a very important thing that people see this happen. Jesus is the Messiah. We know that, okay? So let me tell you a little story real fast. Well, as fast as I can go. John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for Jesus. Powerful minister. He gets thrown into prison. John the Baptist is in prison. And before John the Baptist goes to prison, he knows. He baptizes Jesus. And he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He knows this. He knows this. Then John the Baptist's life gets really, really difficult, really, really hard. He's thrown into prison. He's in this dungeon. And through his time in this dungeon, a little bit of doubt begins to settle in. He begins to think, am I missing something here? I thought this was supposed to go a little different, but here I am, basically a condemned man. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but here I am in my prison ministry. I'm not doing the thing anymore. I'm stuck in here. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And he begins to think, Jesus, I wonder if Jesus really is the Messiah. So John dispatches a couple of his disciples, and they go, and basically, from what it looks like to me, they basically interrupt one of Jesus' services. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's kind of what it looks like to me. But this is what Jesus says. I'm saying that Jesus had to raise the dead. He had to be able to do that, okay? In Matthew 11, 4 and verse 5, this is when Jesus is confronted or questioned by a couple of John the Baptist followers. They basically say, should we be looking for another? John wants to know, are you the one or should we be looking for another? Matthew 11, 4 and 5, and Jesus answered them, go and tell John. Now, it's interesting because I think if a Pharisee or one of the Sanhedrin or some one of these religious elite of the day interrupted him, I think he probably wouldn't even answer them. I think he might give them a parable or something like that, you know? But see how much Jesus truly loved John the Baptist. Matter of fact, I'm getting on a rabbit trail, I need to move forward, but he just really says how awesome John the Baptist is. So, and Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, that's gotta be done. In the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have the good news preached to them. So this is a sign that Jesus Christ is committed to do and a sign that he must do. Okay, now let's go to the next slide. Are y'all doing all right? Seriously? We need to stretch a little bit. Okay, John 11, 21. They get to the outskirts of the village. Remember, they're going to see Lazarus. Okay, so not only did Jesus wait 2 days before he started back on this journey, but when he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Okay, so talk about, listen to me for just a little while longer, talk about a hopeless situation. Because there was hope, there was real hope. Well, all we need is for Jesus to come walking down that street. All we needed to see Jesus walking down our driveway, and man, it's on. We'll rush him right in here. Here's Lazarus, do the thing. I'll be working on cooking some lunch, you know. There was hope. But now after 4 days, there's no hope. And there was a superstition with Hebrew people that sometimes, well, the spirit or the soul of a person would hover around close to the body for around 3 days. So there was like this weird superstition that sometimes they can come back. But Jesus, to make a point that that superstition was poopy, was, he shows up after there's, okay, nobody's getting the glory but my Father. Nobody's getting the glory. I'm going to be glorified, and it's going to point to God the Father. You know what I mean? So he gets there, and this is what Martha says. So Martha runs to him. Martha runs to him. Mary, the other sister, stays back with the mourners. And there's tons of folks that have showed up. Like I said, they're very close to Jerusalem. It would seem that maybe Mary and Martha were people of means. They certainly knew a lot of people. But anyways, Martha runs out. Here it is again. My brother's dead. My brother's dead, but here comes the Messiah. Here comes Jesus Christ. I got to run to him. Because if there's any chance, listen, if there's any chance of me having peace in this crazy upside down part of my life, this part of my life where everything is just so messed up, you know, if there's going to be any peace at all, it's in the loving embrace of Jesus Christ. So she's not sitting there with her arms folded, even though she is, I'm sure, very sure, I mean, the text pretty much says it, you know, that she feels a little let down. You know, I didn't see this one coming, Jesus. I mean, we're not just the blind man on the road. We're not just the lepers on the road. We're not just the crippled guy by the pool. That's Lazarus, man. We're tight, you know. We can be like that. I try and do the right thing. I go to church. I pray, you know, whatever. I'm not like these people, and they got it all perfect, you know. First of all, don't look at people and never say that. You don't know what they're going through. You worry about you and your relationship with the Lord, all right? Don't get sidetracked with none of that nonsense. Anyways, that's another sermon. And if you got time, we can go ahead and do it. John 11, 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We've said that. Maybe you haven't mouthed those words, certainly not those specific words. But you know, I know that I've been like, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you let me do that? You know, what kind of crazy nonsense is that? You know, God, why did you let this happen? Sometimes we feel that way, if we're honest. Then we got to go back to what we do know. He loves me. He knows what he's doing. He's going to do what's best for me. He's working on something bigger than I can even imagine. You know what I mean? 1 Corinthians 13, 12. Because we don't see the big picture. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now we don't see it. We don't get the full picture. But now, but then in the future, just like I can see every detail of someone's face that is right in front of me. I can't figure it out now. I don't get the whole picture, but I will. Now I know in part. Now you only see what God needs us to see. If we knew everything that was going to happen to us, man, we wouldn't leave the house. You know, if we knew what tomorrow held for us, that'd be a whole different ball of wax. You know? So God, in his infinite, never-ending wisdom, says, there's some things you're not going to understand. There's some things I'm not going to let you in on, but I'm working on something beautiful. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Just like God knows every in and out of me, he knows all about me. One day I'm going to have a better perspective on all this stuff. So we just hold on and we trust. We trust. Can I get a witness? So we're getting there. We're getting there. But Mary says, God, if you would have been here, Jesus, if you would have been here. Look at the next verse. This is sweet. This is sweet. Verse 22. But even now, Jesus, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, say, I know who you are. I know who you are. I love you. I don't quite get all this stuff, but I know even now, I know even to this very minute, that if you ask God, if you ask your dad, he's going to give you whatever you ask for. And you know, sometimes, man, a lot of the time, how can I say this? Sometimes we just give up. You know, sometimes we just lose hope. The road's been too long. And God says, never give up. It doesn't mean he's going to jump through your hoops and do exactly what you want, but he's going to do something good. He's going to do something better. And we might not even understand that till later on down the road. But don't give up. Don't give up. Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in God to make a way where there is no way, because he can make a way where there is no way. Luke 1, verse 37. That's my favorite verse. You can write it down. Luke 1, verse 37. Years ago, this nice lady came into the church. She was part of the church. She just come in here, because that would have been really weird. But she was part of the church, and she had this picture made. It's in the foyer, because I don't know what to do with it. I hid it in the office. It keeps coming out. People want to put it up, whatever. It's this picture of me. It's a picture of this face, and it says, for nothing is impossible with God. So in my early years of being a preacher, I was like, yeah, God's going to get me through this. Yeah, and I still feel that way. I can't do any of this without him. But every once in a while, I look at that picture, I'm like, why does this picture exist? I've tried to raffle it away. I've buried it behind stuff in the office. It always resurfaces. But anyways, Luke 1, verse 37. Let's move forward. We all got a date with KFC. Luke 1, verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. That's the God you serve. So don't give up. Martha says, even now, I know your connection to God the Father. If you ask him in this situation is beyond hopeless. He's been dead for 4 days, man. But even now, there's a glimmer of hope. Don't let your hope die, man. Okay. Look at Jesus tells her. Jesus says, your brother's going to live again. Your brother's going to rise again. And Martha says, yeah, I know. I've heard the teachings. I went to synagogue. I know how this works. In the last day, in the resurrection, he will rise. I got it. She's like, yeah, way off down the road, man. Way off down the road, but I'm hurting now. My heart is crushed now. I just watched my brother die in my arms, man, and you weren't even here. I'm hurting. But look, don't give up hope. Look at Psalm 27 and 13. This is what David said. And Lord David went through it. I believe, this is David's hypothesis, and a very well-founded hypothesis. This is the truth. Psalm 27, verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord way off when I die. That's not what he says. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's like Martha said, I don't know how you're going to fix it, but I know if I'm going to have peace, if I'm going to be able to live my life, you're going to do something. I know you're going to do something. You are my only hope, and I know you're not going to let me down. I don't get any of this. I don't understand this, but I know you got a plan. And just like David, God's doing something, and I'm not going to lose hope because I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. Not just something real far off, and certainly I look forward to that. But he wants us to have that abundant life here. You know, can I get a witness? All right, let's go to the last slide. I know I'm preaching a little long. I'm sorry. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, oh, see, I didn't want to leave this out for you guys, man. I was like, they can wait 18 and a half more minutes. 25 minutes. No, this is good. Listen. John 11:25. Okay, so she says, yeah, in the last day, Jesus, but my heart hurts now. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. So last week we actually talked, we hit on three I am statements. There's seven I am statements in the book of John where John sets out to prove through these I am statements that Jesus made that Jesus is clearly the Son of God, that Jesus is God. Okay? And that's what each I am statement is saying. Because remember, when Moses saw the burning bush, real fast, Moses saw the burning bush, God through the burning bush says, I want you to go set my people free in Egypt. Moses is going back and forth. He says, who would I say send me? And he says, tell him I am. Tell him I am sent you. That was God said, tell him I am sent you. And Jesus seven times says, I am. I am. Now look at this I am statement. I am the resurrection. Okay. Let's look at this. I am the resurrection and the life. Now look at John 14:6. Jesus said to him, another I am statement. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one, nada, nobody, no one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the gate. You got to go in through that gate. You can't go around it. It doesn't matter. Well, no, my stepmom said if you're just sincere and a nice person and maybe help old ladies or whatever, you know, nope, ain't going to work. Keep helping them old ladies. That's good. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Back to our text, John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's that wonderful, blessed assurance that we have as Christians. Because, yeah, if the Lord tarries, yeah, you know, we're all going to have our last day. We're going to have our last conversation, our last meal. Hope it's a good one. You know, but we're going to close our eyes, but not forever. You know what I mean? Just boom. Just like that, we're in eternity. And it's going to be awesome. Give the Lord some praise, man. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, what kind of contradiction is that? Hey, he's saying the same thing. You accept me as your Lord and Savior, and yeah, your heart might stop, but you're going to open your eyes instantly in the loving embrace, the joys everlasting in the arms of our Lord and Savior. Okay. And this is important, man. Jesus ends this wonderful, amazing statement to Martha, who is just heartbroken and devastated. After he says this amazing thing to her, he says, do you believe this? In your shaken state with your life just boom, crazy, upside down, can't figure out a way it'll ever be normal again. Do you believe? Do you truly believe what I'm saying is the truth? And she's got the right answer. She said to him, yes, Lord. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha's got it. Amen. She's got it. But her world's still just crazy right now. But she knows if I'm going to have peace, if I'm going to have joy, if I'm going to get through this, it's going to be with this man from Galilee right here. It's going to be with Jesus. So look, man, God bless you. God bless you so much. I am so sorry to take up all your time today. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that, please repeat this prayer after me and mean it. If you want to have eternal life, because tomorrow's not promised to anybody, if you want to have eternal life, say this prayer with me and mean it. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I have broken your laws. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you forever. Thank you for saving my soul. I love you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you said that prayer and you meant it, hey, it doesn't matter if it's fast. If you said it and meant it, you're in the family.